And now, my friends, I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. As this morning, we look again at Matthew chapter 6, but this morning we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 18. So we're going to be moving on from the Lord's Prayer. But this next passage ends up being a great bridge for us as we're about to enter into the season of Lent, which starts this Wednesday. We're going to move from the Lord's Prayer, but this theme of fasting helps us to remember some of the themes of what the season leading up to Easter are about. And we're going to talk more about that in the moment. But as we think about fasting, the core message that we want to be left with is that our desire is to be a people who are filled with a hunger for Christ. As we talk about taking break from food, as we talk about taking breaks from other things, the themes of fasting, what is most important for us is not that we become an empty people, but we become a people who are filled. Filled with what? A hunger for Christ. Because when we hunger for Christ, in that we are satisfied. And I hope that we see this great satisfaction as we look at God's Word together. But before that, let's take a moment and pray. God, we pray that you would whet our appetites for your Word. That we would see that your truth shared with us through the Holy Spirit, protected and preserved, is what our souls have been longing for. Let us delight in your Word, and let us be people who, having taste of it on Sunday, would come back to it each day of the week. Let our appetites be whetted. Let our souls be satisfied. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, my friends, let's give honor to God's Word as we stand together in body or in spirit and look together at Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 16. Jesus spoke these words. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not look obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Brothers and sisters, this is the good word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So fasting may sound like a strange foreign topic. We don't fast often in our American culture. That is unless you pay attention to health news. Now, I will confess, I don't pay attention to health news. Maybe that's obvious to you. But even as someone who doesn't pay attention to health news, I have seen coming up in my news feeds on my phone and when I'm checking email, every once in a while I see these things about the new health fad of intermittent fasting. So I'm curious, who's heard of intermittent fasting? Okay, so I'm not the only one. But if you haven't heard about it, simply what this is the idea of taking a long break from eating food for about 16 hours a day, and you only eat food for 8 hours of the day. Now, why would people do this? Why would people in our modern society want to fast? Well, it's this understanding, even from a non-religious viewpoint, that when we take a break from food, there is something that can be gained. Now, what we're talking about is a health movement. And the things that they hope to gain are benefits like some of the things that they proclaim. If you take a break from food, it helps your heart health. It helps with your diabetes management, with your weight management. And they have a whole host of other things. But I'm not your doctor. I'm not telling you to do it or not to do it. That's not what I'm here for. But I bring up the fact that people are looking at fasting as a modern option because it tells us something about our human nature. It tells us that we are willing to give up something if we believe that we will receive something greater in return. If you're somebody who wants to, you know, manage your weight, manage your diabetes, heart health, whatever, you decide, you know, I am better off by taking a break from food for a period of time. There's something wonderful that we understand that we are willing to give up what is good when there is something that is greater to be received. That's our human nature. Now, this same aspect of our human nature is at play when we look at biblical fasting. Now, biblical fasting has a similar sense of that taking a break from food or taking breaks from other kinds of pleasure. But the goal and the thing that we hope to gain is going to be very different than what you might be reading about on the internet with intermittent fasting. What we see with fasting in the Bible is a concept that is a very close companion to prayer. This idea of prayer and fasting go together very well. They are very close friends. In fact, the structure of Matthew chapter 6 starts with Jesus teaching about three very important spiritual disciplines. He teaches us about giving to the poor, about prayer, and fasting. And we know that these three disciplines are tied together in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount because each of them comes with that same warning of do not do as the hypocrites do. You know, there is something that is good. This is something I have an expectation for you to participate in. But when you do not do it as those hypocrites. And he gives that warning because he understands our human nature. We are incredibly good at turning something that is selfless into something that is selfish. And I can think of an example. And this is a hypothetical one pulled from different experiences I've seen in life. But let's say that we recognize that there are, you know, children in Africa that are in need of clean water. And there's a wonderful cause right there. That you may have celebrities come around and say, you know what, I've got a great idea. Let's throw a big fancy gala and we can wear expensive clothes and we can have a red carpet and people can take pictures of us. Don't you think the children are going to love it? This is going to be wonderful. Now, I'm overstating something that we see, but we have this incredible skill of being able to turn something that is supposed to be for the good of someone else, but we turn it into some sort of a charity gala where we end up seeking our own praise because we want to be seen as being generous people. Now, I point the finger at celebrities, but this is something that we all struggle with. The celebrities struggle with it because they have the same human nature that we have in ours. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but if you go to a restaurant or someplace that has a tip jar, and you go to put money into the tip jar, but just as you do, the worker turns around and they don't see you put the money in the tip jar and you feel like you're cheated out on something, right? Like, no, like, you were supposed to think I'm this awesome guy. And there's that temptation to do what a lot of comedy sketches have of somebody reaching back into the jar so they can tip again. But of course, the employee watches you take the money out but not put it in there. But it says something about our nature of like, we want that praise. I'm not being generous because I want to help you out. Maybe there's some of that there. Like, let's give people the benefit of the doubt. I think when celebrities put those galas on, they do want those people to be helped. But I also want to be helped at the same time. Look at me. I'm a generous person. And so Jesus is pointing this nature that is in us that we need to be very careful. And he warns us against it when he says in verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Fasting was an act of mourning. Fasting was an act of mourning where they would dress as what you would do for perhaps a funeral in their days. You know, they would wear ripped clothing. They would cover themselves in dust, but for the Pharisees, this was something that they would do twice a week. It was on schedule. You knew that, oh, it's Tuesday again. Where are the Pharisees? They would be wandering around the streets looking all disheveled, and people would look at them and say, man, those people, those Pharisees, they are such religious people. I mean, they are so devoted to God. And what it is essentially, it's the humble brag. You know, if you were going to fast, maybe the way that we would do that today is, you know, you might be a little extra cranky at the people around you. You go, oh, don't mind me. I'm just cranky today because I'm really hungry. I haven't eaten food all day. You want to know why? Come on. It's okay. You can ask me. And people think, oh, that person is really rude. They must be incredibly spiritual. That's the benefit of the humble brag. You can act like you're not a great person, and people love you even more because of it. But Jesus gives a huge warning for people who act in this way with that humble brag. He says, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. This principle of, I'm going to put aside food, I'm going to put aside some of my pride, quote-unquote pride, to gain something. Well, what is the gain that they're hoping to get? They're hoping to get more pride back. They were hoping to get the honor of their friends. They were looking for personal glory. And Jesus says, if that is what you're looking for, my punishment is that is what you are going to get. But that is all that you are going to get. If you are looking for personal glory, you can have it, but you are not going to have anything more than that. That's it. And what this implies is that there's something even greater that can be rewarded, an even greater gain that we can receive when we set aside pleasures like food. Well, how do we get this better reward? What is the means of that? What is the reward? Well, Jesus teaches us the way in verse 17. He says, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. So basically just saying, keep up with your normal hygiene practices. Make it look like it's a normal day. Do not do things that are going to signal to your friends that this is going to be a day of fast for you. You don't want them to know because it's not about them. It's not about what they think about you. It's about you and your relationship with God and what you think of him and what he thinks of you. And so Jesus goes on with this idea of fasting. You don't want it to be obvious to others, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So it's interesting, that idea of we're talking about fasting as being a selfless act, and yet there is a reward that can be gained, a reward that is greater than personal glory. Well, what is this? Well, let's take a moment and think about what fasting is about, because this is not something that is common in our culture. We don't practice this a lot in Western society. But the big picture of fasting is the big picture of fasting is one that was done, as I said, out of a sense of mourning, out of a sense of grief, that when people would look at the pains of the world around them, when they would see this great need for something that they cannot offer themselves, they would do this intentional act of mourning. They would cause themselves to suffer from a lack of pleasure because what they're looking for is that greater pleasure that can only come from God himself. It was an act of trusting and depending on him more so than anything else that was around them. Anything that looking for a pleasure that is greater than what the world has to offer. And so when would somebody fast? Well, one of the things that helps us to see a bit of when we would fast comes from a story of when the Pharisees looked at the disciples of Jesus and saw that they weren't fasting when the Pharisees themselves were doing that on a routine basis. And they're wondering, well, how come your disciples don't fast? And what he tells them is that I'm here. When I'm around, this is a time of celebration. This is not a time of mourning. This is a time of celebration. And he gives the example of if you have a wedding and a wedding feast, people would not fast. The Pharisees themselves would not fast during the time of a wedding feast. It's a time of joy. And when Jesus is around, he is the bridegroom. When you have Jesus, you don't have a reason to be sorry for what is lacking or missing because what your heart truly desires is with you right now. You have Jesus Christ, the satisfier of our souls. But then he acknowledged that he himself would not be around forever, but there would be a time that he would go. And as he would be gone, his disciples and his followers would go back to this practice of fasting. And so that describes us, and that describes this time that we're in right now. There is an expectation for us to be people who fast Because we're separated from Jesus Christ. We're separated from the one who satisfies the longings of our soul. And we look at the brokenness in the world around us and we recognize we need help. When we lead and guide ourselves, things are crazy. Things are falling apart. You can look at it in terms of health scares. You can look at it in terms of political scares. We have so many reasons to be afraid or concerned. And it's this idea of don't just wallow in your fears, but give them to the Lord. And one of the practices that helps us to do this is fasting. Fasting that is tied with prayer. And so, what happens when we fast? Well, fasting, as I said, what you would do is you'd take a break from food for a period of time. Maybe it's a day, maybe it's just a single meal. And if you've never fasted before, I recommend don't try to, my first time, I'm going to try to go for a three-day fast. Do not do that. Especially if you have other health concerns there. But the idea is that you're going to take a break from food. Or we see other examples of, like, Daniel in the Bible, who he took a longer break, but he took a break from certain kinds of food. He took a break from sweets and things that were offered to the idols and the false gods in his day. So he took a long fast, but it was a fast from only certain kinds of food. We see other kinds of fast from different types of pleasure, specifically the kind of pleasure that comes from marital intimacy, this idea of agreeing to take a break from each other for the sake of prayer. And so we see, when sometimes people talk about, well, I'm going to take a fast from social media. I'm taking a Facebook fast. That seems to fit the pattern of what we see of this idea of setting aside pleasures. But why? Is it just so, are we taking a break from food so that we can be hungry and just say, God, look how miserable I am. Are you happy now? No. It's the emptiness is not the end goal. Us being hungry because we haven't eaten food is not the end hunger that we're looking for. We are looking to make ourselves hungry from one pleasure so that it can be replaced with a greater pleasure. And so, if you are going to be fasting from something in your life, make sure you are replacing it with prayer, with the study of God's Word. And so, one of these nice things is that if you think of the time that it takes to prepare a meal and to eat a meal, that is a natural opportunity for you to instead to open up your Bibles and to have a quiet moment to be able to read it and to grow closer to God, because that's what our desire is. If you're not filling your time with the Lord, then when you take a fast from food, all you are is just taking what is probably a miserable form of a diet. And that's not what we want to do right now. We want to be filled, setting aside something good so we can receive something that is greater. Because this is what the reward is about. What is the reward that we can receive that is greater than personal glory? It is us being able to delight in the glory of God. It's us, as we meditate on His Word, as we pray, as we come before the Lord, us being able to enjoy the presence of God and His glory. That is our reward. Because when we take a break from food to pray to the Lord, it's not simply just making extra time in our schedule. The hunger itself is a useful tool to intensify our prayers and the delight that we find in Jesus Christ. And there's a few reasons for this. One, when we hunger, that's a natural reminder for us to continue to pray. Because if you're going to feel as you're working around the house or you're working around in the office and you feel that hunger, and all of a sudden it's going to remind you, well, why am I hungry? Because I'm devoting myself to prayer today. And it will remind you that maybe you take a break from what you're doing, or maybe as you continue to do your work, use that as an opportunity to pray to the Lord. As that hunger does not go away, it's a reminder that our hunger for God will not be satisfied until Jesus Christ is with us. That hunger should not stop. Another benefit that comes from the hungering, that comes from fasting, and it's a reminder that without God, we become weak. We become tired. We become empty people. And as a reminder that this is what it's like for me spiritually if I'm not engaging with God on a daily basis. This is what my soul would be like. So instead, let us take that time to be filled with the presence of God. And then the third benefit that comes from the hungering that comes with fasting is that it demonstrates our values. It demonstrates our values to ourselves. It demonstrates our values to God. But when we hunger, what we're saying is that as much as I would love right now just to dig into a big, juicy hamburger right now, as much as I would love to do that, I would far rather dig into God's Word. My desire for this food over here may be great, but my desire for Jesus Christ is all the more because He satisfies more than what food can do for me. And it's a practice right there. We're proving it to ourselves, saying, yes, I know it's true. Because if I did not believe it's true, I wouldn't be leaving that hamburger over there on the table. Now, probably a good practice if you're fasting, don't put a hamburger right there on the table unless you really want to make it intense for you. But it's this idea of the reward that comes from being more closely united with God is our great reward, is our great desire. And this practice of fasting, it might seem strange to us in our Western society, but think about the society that we live in. We are a people who have so much overabundance. Our ability to gain and acquire food, and not just food that's going to help us survive another day, but indulgent food, food that is rich, food that is sweet. We are so easily able to just fill ourselves and stuff ourselves with food that is focused on delight. We live in a society right now where we have every form of entertainment that is available to us. Especially if you've got a smartphone, you are never separated from your influx of entertainment. And yet, despite all this food, despite all this entertainment, we are still a people who are hungering. We're still a people who are incredibly bored. We are depressed. We are lonely. We are sad. We are empty, even though we have an overabundance, so much so we don't know what to do with all of the television shows that we could watch, all the kinds of food that we can eat. We are saturated, and yet we are empty. And so of all people, who should be the ones who are eager to practice fasting? You would think it would be us. We are the ones who have the ability to benefit from it the most, as we are able to demonstrate for ourselves that taking time to focus on the Lord alone and not our overabundance is the greater reward. And so, my friends, what we're about to enter into is what we call Lent. It's a 40 days that leads up to the cross of Jesus Christ, His death and His resurrection. And this theme of fasting providentially lines up well with many of the themes that comes with Lent. Because in Lent, some of the things that we remember is one, that the way that Jesus Christ was willing to empty Himself, to leave the throne room and the pleasures of the presence of His Father, to come and suffer in this world alongside of us. He left those pleasures aside for a time, and that as He suffered, He willingly died for our behalf. And what you might be able to say is that this was a sort of fasting that Jesus Christ Himself did, leaving behind those pleasures for a time to be able to receive a greater reward, which would be us. Because He didn't die just for the sake of saying, hey, everyone, look at, oh, this was so miserable. Don't you pity me? That's not what it was about. It was His pity for us, looking at us who were seeking our own pleasures and yet still being left hungry and empty and saying, no, there is a better way. There is a better joy. He willingly died on the cross so that we would be rescued. We are the great reward that He received from Him leaving behind the glory of His throne for a period of time. And as a response to what Jesus Christ has done for us, there's been a tradition that's been long held in the church of using the season of Lent for fasting. Now, I encourage you, if you're going through difficult times in your life and it's not the season of Lent, look to fasting. You know, maybe make it as, it's not a requirement in the Bible, but it is an expectation. Find ways to make this a part of your life. But especially as we come to the season of Lent, we have a long tradition of willingly allowing ourselves to suffer so that we would be able to take hold of a greater joy, the joy that comes through Jesus Christ alone. And this is where maybe you've heard that saying before of, hey, well, what are you giving up for Lent? You know, I know for some church traditions, it is more about that sense of suffering of, God, look, I hurt myself. Aren't you happy now? That's not, when we talk about fasting in our church, that's not what it's about. What it is about is us seeking that greater joy that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And so we're going to enter into the season of waiting, of longing, and of expectation for the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's not a requirement. It's an encouragement. Maybe there are ways that we can practice this over the next 40 days. Maybe for us, you know, it's taking a break from certain kinds of food or drink. I had a teacher in high school. Every Lent, he would take a break from coffee, which he was incredibly dependent on. So that first week of Lent was not so great for us students. But the first week after Easter was fantastic. He was in such a great mood. But maybe it's taking a break from something that is a source of pleasure for us. Don't like not eat for 40 days. That's not what we're talking about here. But taking a break from a certain pleasure for a prolonged period of time. Maybe it is taking a break from something like television or social media. I think sometimes that might be harder for us than taking a break from certain kinds of food. We've become so dependent on our technology and our entertainment. I know for me that would be more difficult than taking a break from certain kinds of food. Or maybe it's just something that we decide to do over the next few weeks of, on certain days, we're going to take a break from a certain meal and make sure that we're investing that time in reading the Bible and praying. No matter what approach that we're taking, don't just cut something out from your life and leave it that way. It's about being filled with something better. This is an opportunity for us to dig in and devote ourselves even more deeply to the Lord over this period of time. And so, fasting, not a requirement, but an encouragement. We of all people in this society who are overabundant and self-indulgent, we perhaps more than all people have a reason to fast, to be filled with the Word, to be filled with prayer, so that through our hungering for Christ, we would find our greatest satisfaction. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are willing to share your glory with us. Because your glory is so remarkable that it is able to satisfy you, who are infinite and almighty. But you're willing to share that incredible, infinite joy with finite people like us. Help us to believe that. Because the messages around the world want us to find our joy in other things. But we are so wired to pursue joy. Let us know without a doubt that that joy is found in you alone. And whatever means that you choose to teach that to us, through fasting or perhaps some other means, let us not doubt. Let us delight. Delight in you and in your Son. And in his name we pray. Amen.